Each week, we read from your letters. Lots of you wrote in to add suggestions to our summer reading list. Ashanti Miller of San Rafael, California has three. The Devil Wears Prada by Laura Weisberger, described as Nanny Diaries-type fun. Blue Latitudes by David Horowitz, historical adventure. And The Life of Pi by Jan Martel, travel, adventure, philosophy, and possible metaphor. Thanks, Ashanti. Alyssa Hochstetter of Avon, Connecticut, wrote in with this question. During your summer book reading list, you also discussed a town that's well known for finding hard-to-find books. Could you please write me and tell me what it is? Well, the answer is Hay on Wye. That's three words, H-A-Y hyphen O-N hyphen W-Y-E. It's a town in Wales where what used to be stores and workplaces all sell used books. If you'd like to see our complete list of this summer's Literature of Leisure, head over to our website, www.npr.org, and pull down on Talk of the Nation. We received a lot of answers to our program that asked, when do you know you're an adult? Cheryl Van Dusen says, a friend of mine defines adulthood by choice of hot dog condiments. When you make the switch from catsup to mustard, you have crossed the threshold of adulthood. Adam Larson of Laramie, Wyoming, has a different yardstick. When you find yourself in the tool department at Sears, just to fondle the tools. And there was a note of resistance in the email from Mary Smith of Kansas City, Kansas. I refuse to be an adult, she wrote, until my 64-year-old mother stops playing with her PlayStation 2. A number of you wrote in during our program on organ donation to ask us to clarify exactly how donor organs are distributed to qualified recipients. NPR's own health policy correspondent, Julie Rovner, is here with us in Studio 3A to clear things up for us. Good you to join us.
Hi, Neil.
So if I'm in Iowa and need a kidney, could it come from anywhere in the country? Explain how this works.
Well, it could, in theory. Basically, what you have on the ground are 60 organ procurement organizations. Some of these are local, some of them are statewide. They're basically in charge of finding organ donors and actually recovering the organs and making arrangements to find the match. Now, the match happens at a place called UNOS, which is the United Network for Organ Sharing. It's a national organization based in Richmond that operates under contract to the Department of Health and Human Services. So this is actually a government-sanctioned operation. Basically, when there is a donor organ, it is reported to UNOS, and there is a list, and it makes matches based on a number of things, how sick you are, how closely you match the organ that could be donated, how long you've been on a waiting list, and how close you are to the donated organ. And that's sort of the key to how this has changed in recent years. It used to be that a donated organ was first offered locally, possibly even in the hospital where it's been recovered, then regionally, and then nationally. And that's because organs didn't last very long once they were taken out of the donor. You basically had to get them transplanted quickly. That's less true than it was. It's different for different organs. Livers in particular can go a long time. So to go back to your original question, if you need a kidney in Iowa, it could come from anywhere in the country, but more likely is if you need a liver in Iowa, it could come from anywhere in the country.
Mm-hmm. Now, are there any efforts to change these laws?
Well, it's not so much a law. This did change in the year 2000. There was a huge two-year-long fight between UNOS and the Department of Health and Human Services, between HHS and its own contractor. Basically, what HHS said is, look, we've got these now new ways to keep organs viable longer so they can travel longer distances. What had happened is you had these sort of strange geographic inequities where in some places, if you got on a list, you would wait 35, 40 days for an organ. If you were across the river, you might wait a year and a half for an organ, and yet you could be equally sick. And HHS thought that didn't make any sense. It was basically a political and financial fight, among other things. Smaller transplant centers feared that they would lose all of their organs to the larger transplant centers. So there was quite the there were lawsuits involved and several laws passed by Congress, and ultimately a deal was negotiated where there is more of a need involved now when organs are distributed and less of the actual location.
So need is the basis than location.
They're both still important, but there is more of an emphasis on need than there is on location, simply because the organ can remain viable if it's moved longer distances.
Julie Rovner, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Julie Rovner is NPR's health policy correspondent. And finally, our segment on safe driving practices turned into a bit of a confessional for Jeff Stockham of Syracuse, New York. I must admit that I've practiced my trumpet while driving, he writes. I bought a small pocket trumpet for such activity. Finding the hours to maintain my chops was difficult, and doing simple scale and long tone exercises while on the freeway helps keep me ready for those tough gigs. We read from your emails every week. The best way to reach us is totn@npr.org. Remember to put the topic in the subject line. Please include where you're writing from, your name, and a tip on how to pronounce both. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.